Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, 76th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm joined by Kathleen Gebel. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, your film is the first film that I watched, and we're talking about Pelican Blood. Pelican Blood. We can simply start from the title, and also the imagery behind the title. They kind of probably like started everything off, you know. So, because it's a very. This is just my comment, of course, but it's incredibly courageous the way that you combine so many different topics and then you make it into one thing, you know.
Thank you that you say so, because of course in the beginning it's always a chaos on the page, but there were so many things I felt when I digged into this theme that I felt I want to explore the complexity of it, and it's great you feel that it's that I managed. So in fact, Pelican Blood is based on a myth that is already coming from the antique and was also used in Christianity. The mother pelican who feeds her dead offspring with her own blood, and this brings them back to life. And I felt when I researched about mothers or families who take in children, for example, that have this reactive attachment disorder, this trauma, this weird behavior that Raya shows, that they are very quickly feeling the boundaries of treatment. So what medicine and psychology and all of them can do is quite limited sometimes. And I felt she will need to give more, and she will also have to, in a way, go her very own way, and all the society norms and the people around her who start to talking to her like, don't do this, bring the child back to an orphanage and things, that she needs to find her very own way of approaching the problem. And their solution is not there in the beginning, but also she not only finds a way to approach the child in another way and the problem of the child, but also I think she learned something about herself in a way. So when you see her in the very first shots of the film, she will look completely different in the end. So she's also going through a metamorphosis, because it's my true belief, when you are confronted with a person that is not the norm, is different from what you know, not only this person has to change. I think it's very important to make an effort to change yourself, and the way you deal with each other is also not scripted, maybe, so you have to find your own way, but it's worth the effort, I believe.
And tell me, it was very interesting as well what you touched it upon earlier, the idea of going, you know, needing more to explain, more to resolve this issue. You think it's also because of the concept itself of motherhood, which goes beyond any understanding. You know, even from a male perspective, for example, it goes beyond my understanding, although I try to. And therefore, you go into the almost this new level of reality, you know, supernatural reality. The research behind that, for example, how did you combine the two things? Because, you know, we still, you know, in Germany, so but we have this almost voodoo. You know, it's been talked about voodoo. Maybe it's not specifically voodoo, but I just want to hear like the research behind it and how you combine the things together.
So I mean, before I wouldn't call it voodoo, I would maybe call it witchcraft. But actually I know people, and that's where I also got my research from, in Germany, who practice this kind of things. There are people that say, I don't work with kids, but also there are people who say, in particular, I can help you with this problem. And when I researched, I mean, in the paganism, you know, in old German times, in a way, it was more common, and I felt, let's go and more backwards, or she has to look more into nature. What is coming from the human being when you are confronted with a dilemma, or where do you find your power? And because I think in our society we have the need to have this transcendence, to feel faith, to hold on to something bigger, and what could be the way Wiebke could explore this? And so I met really exciting people, I have to say, and I think it was in every way very positive. They were really supportive, and
And also to reach that transcendence as well through film, you got to have the right face and the right performance. And of course, you know, like we're talking about, of course, the character of Vivke, Baraya, Nikki, all together as well. Mm. What was the work behind it? So how much you actually rehearsed before shooting, or maybe it was something natural that happened during the shooting and you took your time well?
I think it's a mix because you have to find the right people anyway. Yeah. So the casting was really important so that I felt they can actually be there. And, you know, also with set design and costume and everything, I really had to make the right choices also for the team people because they would add to what I was thinking. You know, the actors always, they interpret it. Or the emotionalized ideas I'm having, but it's so great if something that you are scripting in the beginning that kind of grows like a flower in a way, and it feels more real when other people take part in it because it's because they, for example, an actor really experiences things, and a costume designer really knows how to push. And so I think that was or is the main thing I believe in with working with team or crew members in general, and with these actors in particular. So the children, they need another way of working than a grown up. So Nina is super skilled. She has super much experience, and you work on, you start on a very high level. You talk a lot, and then she has some improvisations or whatever, and then you know I'm going there, or this is what I like to explore. You can immediately edit it. And with the children, they really have to rehearse and prepare a lot. And I had a great children's coach, Simona, who was also the mother of Raya.
Oh, right.
Of Katharina, and she worked with the children from the moment I casted them, but also one really hardcore month where they spent time at the sea, and where they, for example, Kati, she couldn't read and she couldn't remember the lines that way, so they drew the entire script in images, and then also when you shoot, you can point the image, you know, she remembers the emotion, she remembers what she drew, so it's a very different approach of working with actors, but that was really helpful, you know, to have a coach who knows this kind of techniques. And then I had a rehearsal week where I put Nina, Muratan, the Benedict, and the two children together in order to create a family emotion for all of them and to have the trust to be able to, and of course for each other to know how you work together for in the process of shooting a movie, because when you have a big team on board and the pressure of a shoot, you don't have time to do the big things. You have to do the little things.
And tell me one last question, but I'm kind of interested because I really sensed your the cinematic language that you used. You know, the lexicon that you used. Did that happen kind of like almost naturally as we spoke? And so you knew exactly, you know, with the, for example, the usage of the slow motion or the panning, you know, that it meant something. So you kind of drew upon different films on different, you know, maybe directors that you really admire, or you knew already that that was exactly the style and the, you know, the lexicon to
be used. No, it's funny. It's always until the very end. For me, I know there are directors who work differently, but I'm influenced until the very end because it depends on money sometimes, on the location. It depends on what feels right on set sometimes. Sometimes you see something you had in mind, you thought it would be just brilliant, and then you see it and you're like, nah. And with the slow motions, I always felt I want to show that there is a particular moment when Wiebke finally feels I'm going to get it, you know? And I didn't want it to show it so concrete, not to spoil something, but I felt if I just watch her face in a slow motion moment, you see that something changes, that she finally believes in something. And then I felt it could be interesting to have her in the very beginning when she's so full of positive thoughts, she's adopting a child, to have like a first chapter thing in a way, and then on the midpoint I use another longer slow motion because it's a moment where you see, well, this is totally going the opposite way. So I felt it's something I could use. I shot it, but I was never sure I will edit it, so it's something in the editing we felt in the right way, in the right speed also would work, and the same with location and grading. So you have ideas in mind, but when you feel it's working out with music, it was very fine work to not be too much in the, for example, genre direction, but also to be on the right emotion in a way, and to also be in the cool style I like. And it's always it's a process with the team members, like with the cinematographer and the composer and everybody involved. Yeah.
Well, that was fantastic. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Thank you so much, too.
We're talking about, again, Pelican Blood, Section Orizzonti. So to go and watch it if you're here in Venice.
Yeah, watch it.
It's really good. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.